You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Stan Van Gundy said Aaron Baines hasn't told the Pistons he'll opt out next summer. There was a report yesterday that Baines has already decided that he will, that he'll opt out of his $6.5 million salary. Van Gundy just said that wouldn't be a surprise. And it's just a continuation of what Van Gundy has said all along, because Van Gundy has made clear the Pistons signed Boban Marjanovic with the intent of making Boban the backup center next year, because the Pistons thought Baines would opt out and be unaffordable. So no real shock there. Van Gundy didn't address the other part of the report, which is that the Pistons are shopping Baines and Boban. If he did, I'm pretty sure I know what he'd say, given how he's handled every other trade rumor, that of course the Pistons are talking about trading those players, and they're talking about trading every player on the roster and talking with every team in the league about every combination. And sometimes those talks are more substantial, sometimes they're not, but there's always talks and they're always talking about it. And the fact that the Pistons are talking trade on those two is not in itself significant. But it does make sense that the Pistons are open to dealing them. They'd probably only trade one. It's a matter of figuring out what each's value is to figure out which one. Talked more in yesterday's podcast about the trade breakdowns for Baines and Boban. If you want more, go ahead and check that one out. Another thing, though, that Van Gundy said when addressing trade season that I found interesting, and maybe I'm just nitpicking his language because it's not totally clear what he means. So let me first say what he said, and then I want to get into what I hope he means, because what he said doesn't quite sound like what I hope he means. So just talking about trades, he said, I don't think it being record has anything to do with it, because you're always looking for ways to improve your team. Whether you're five games over 500 or five games under 500, if there's a move that makes us better, we make it. We're not going to panic because we're six games under 500 and we have to go make a deal. What if the deal doesn't help you? He continued, even if we were sitting here at 27 and 21, if there was something we thought would make us better, we'd do it. That's always the judgment, if you get better. Well, yeah, in the grand sense, if it improves your standing as a franchise, if it improves your place as a franchise, yeah, you make the move, and if it doesn't, you don't. Of course, you know, not everybody knows what the future will hold. That's the whole game, is figuring out which trades will help your standing as a franchise and which won't. But you don't always want to make the move that makes you better right now. Sometimes it's not worthwhile to make a trade that makes you better right now because the long-term cost is too high. We saw a perfect example of it yesterday with the Hornets trading for Miles Plumlee. I think Plumlee makes them a little better right now. I think he's a good fit for how they like to play. I think he can replicate some of the things that Cody Zeller does that work so well in that system. However, he's in the first year of a four-year, $50 million contract. That marginal addition for right now is not worth that long-term cost for a team that's just trying to squeeze into the playoffs, that's right on the playoff edge, that's in the race with the Pistons. Those are the bigger things to consider. So I hope Van Gundy doesn't mean better, as in better right now, better on the court today, because that is far too narrow of a scope. And that's where the record does come in, because you do need to know your place. Look, if the Cavaliers or the Warriors trade for a player due a lot more money than he'll be worth in coming years, but he makes them a little better this year, that's fine and dandy because of how good they are, because of what their record is, where they are. They're competing for a title. This is the time you cash in those chips. The Pistons need to figure out where they are. I don't know where they are. They don't know where they are. There's no way of telling exactly where they are yet. And hopefully it becomes a little clearer closer to the trade deadline, but given how packed in this playoff race is, how up and down the Pistons have been, it probably won't become clear. They're probably going to have to make some hard decisions. But where are they right now? Are they a team that is going to get into the playoffs? Are they a team that's not? Are they a team that could get into the playoffs with a trade that's available to them? Are they a team that could get some long-term help if it sells off players who can help teams more now? Teams that are more likely to get in the playoffs to do more damage once they get there. The Pistons need to figure out how much they value getting into the playoffs this year. How much they value getting into the playoffs in future years. How much they value going further in the playoffs in future years. How much they, what type of chances they think they have of advancing in the playoffs this year. These are all bigger questions they need to answer, and the record impacts that understanding. So yeah, I disagree with how Van Gundy said it. I absolutely think the record affects what type of trades you make. You still want to make, always want to make a trade that makes the franchise better, but not necessarily a trade that makes you better on the court today. So I don't know exactly what Van Gundy meant. I can tell you what he said. Don't quite like how he said it. I am not convinced that he meant anything different than what I just described. You look at how he's done trades. He has not been this overly impulsive coach running the front office that we feared he'd be. He has been patient. He has looked at the long-term view. He has seemed to properly assess all these questions. So, I'm not going to give him a hard time about this. But just on paper, what he said, don't really like it. Hope he meant something slightly different. I tend to think he meant something slightly different, but I'm not certain. We're going to start hearing more concrete trade rumors as we get closer to the deadline in a few weeks. One name out there already, Wilson Chandler of the Denver Nuggets, according to Sam Amick of USA Today, has requested a trade. Chandler's from Michigan. He's a swing man. He can play the 2, 3, and 4. He'd be a real nice addition to the Pistons bench. He'd be the type of player I'd like the Pistons going after. He's making about $11.2 million this year, $12 million next year. And then has a player option for $12.8 million the following year. Probably would opt out of that, but I think he's 29. He's at that age where you could cross him to the other side of 30. Production can slip. Not totally certain he'll opt out of that, but right now he's definitely on track to. It would take that type of decline, a real serious decline, for him not to opt out of that. I don't know if the Pistons can get him. I'd make that call. I'd start to feel it out. You want to talk about the first obvious trade that came to mind? I would not do this, but you want to talk about where some needs match up? Well, yeah, the Pistons could use somebody who can be a backup wing. That's Chandler. The Nuggets are right in the playoff race in the Western Conference. They've been holding that eighth place spot for a little while, but they've been doing it with a lot of point guard minutes going to Emmanuel Mudiay, who's young and quite frankly bad. He might get good. It's understandable that he's bad because he's young, he's playing a difficult position, but no, he's not very good right now. So they've basically been in this playoff race in spite of Mudiay, so they could be looking for a point guard who's more capable of winning now. Hey, the Pistons have a better point guard who has been involved in trade rumors, and as we talk about, it seems like every single day now, it has been central to a lot of their problems. And again, I'm going to put this caveat out there every time, even though it's not all his fault. It is not all Reggie Jackson's fault, but wherever there's trouble for the Pistons, it seems Reggie Jackson is around. So, something based around Reggie Jackson for Wilson Chandler. The Nuggets also have another point guard, Jameer Nelson, who played for Stan Van Gundy in Orlando. Given how it's worked, there's a case. It's not a case I subscribe to, but some people like to make the case that the Pistons should make Ish Smith their starting point guard. Now, if they trade Reggie Jackson to elevate Smith, they would need a backup. And, hey, Jameer Nelson and Wilson Chandler for Reggie Jackson, that works salary-wise. I wouldn't like that trade. I think Reggie Jackson, he's 3 years younger than Wilson Chandler. Jameer Nelson is hanging on. He's up there into his 30s, well into his 30s, and hanging on as a decent NBA player, making some contributions in Denver, knows SVG's system. He could provide something, but I just think Reggie Jackson is, clearly better than both of them on a solid contract and much younger, just far more valuable. I would not rush to do that, even if for chemistry reasons or whatever, it made you better in the short term. That's not the type of trade I would make. I think Reggie Jackson's value is higher. I'd rather keep him if his value is not higher. But that whether Van Gundy would make that trade probably depends on that last conversation we just had about how much he values getting better right now at this moment versus the overall long-term strength of this team. What is that going to be? Well, see, we've got to figure out where this team is right now. Pistons host the Timberwolves tonight. They play the Pacers on Saturday. We'll be back Monday to look back at those games and ahead at the next two games against the 76ers and the Lakers. It's nice to have a four-game stretch where the Pacers are clearly the toughest opponent in the group. That says something about this upcoming schedule. When the Pistons have had soft spots in their schedule before, they haven't really taken advantage. Will this time be any different? We'll see. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.